¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Friday morning, everybody. No Lance. Lance is at the Combine, so Adam Wexler's joining us in studio. Dell is here as well. Good morning. What's going on?
What up, man?
How you doing?
It's Friday, right?
It is Friday.
That's all you need to know.
It's during Lent. Are you going to eat meat today? You won't eat meat today, right?
I'm pretty much going to play it by ear. Every day is like that.
You're not sure what you're going to do with that?
Whatever comes along when I'm in the car driving and I'm forced to jam a meal down my throat on my way to the next thing.
Big tuna fish today.
Ooh, I never have said that.
You haven't said that?
Definitely not at this time of the day.
See, I'm a big tuna fish guy.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm enthusiastic about tuna fish on Friday.
Never been enthusiastic about that.
All right. Let's just think about it. Keep it in mind. So what's going on over at Channel 2 today?
Well, we got everything today.
We do.
We got Rockets basketball because they're back in town in advance of the Celtics tomorrow. The Astros, a night game over in spring training. You got a 5 o'clocker tonight, and they're just cruising right along. They get the same starting pitching every day. 2 innings, no runs. So everybody's pretty much throwing what they want right now, which is nice.
Yep.
It's all good.
You were there. How long were you there at spring training?
My gosh, I was there forever. I was there from a Tuesday all the way to a Thursday. I was there for 3 days.
That's all you were there, 3 days?
I was there for three days at the start of the game.
And then Randy came in and said, all right, Wax, you can go. I'm here now.
I was there for day one and part of day two.
Okay, so what did you glean? I was there for 3 days as well.
There you go. That's all you need, right?
Well, that's all you need, really.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's really
all you need.
I thought the Astros were the best team in baseball before I got there. They still do.
You did. You thought that. And I did too. And I'm not in the locker room as much as you are these days. Used to be, not anymore. But the things that I gleaned from my little 3 day extravaganza was it's a tight knit group, and damn, they're awfully awfully talented.
They know it too.
Yeah, and a confident group in that. What I liked about the whole thing was that they really believe in their own ability, but they also believe in the front office. When you pick up a Garrett Cole, when you pick up Smith, and you pick up Rondon, it's like we're not stopping. We're not never settle is a pretty good slogan this year.
It's you come off of last year, and clearly everybody could see it, and luckily it was league wide. They had trouble getting guys out and finishing off games and winning games without continuing to score runs because their bullpen obviously had to turn to their starters in order to get it done. Well, they did something about it. We're all looking at Garrett Cole and a full season of Justin Verlander, and they've got 8 starting pitchers. Well, there's no way they shouldn't have a better bullpen because there's just so much deeper, and A.J. Hinch has so many more guys to turn to instead of, Giles isn't the guy tonight, or he's pitched 3 days in a row, so I got to go to Gregerson or Harris. He can still go to Harris, but now he can go to Smith. Now he can go to Rondon and many of the other younger guys, presumably, really outside of Sip. These guys could potentially be better options as well. Martez at some point is going to pitch for this team this year, and it's probably going to be out of the bullpen. And they just have so many more weapons there. And again, offensively, it's stupid how good they should be.
Yeah, and people are down on Martez, but you got to remember, it's his first. Paulino, I understand being down on because of the the suspension, and that's on him. You can't do that. Whitley. I mean, this team is not only built now. It really is. This is Jeff Leno has done an unbelievable job. Now, the thing about it is, I mean, we criticize the 76ers. We criticize the Mavericks for talking about tanking. They were able, not tank, but they were really, really crappy for those years. You still got to get the picks right.
that's what's the mocking of what the Astros are doing. And I mean mocking in the copying sense, right. Not laughing at them.
Right.
That's what they were doing. That is what teams are doing now in baseball. But it's not a foolproof plan because the picks have to be right. And the picks weren't always right. We always
Chris
to them.
Bryant.
Chris Bryant could be an Astro, and Mark Appel could not have been an Astro. Right. And again, but the Correa-McCullers draft, how you were able to get McCullers at the back half of the first round. Dallas Keuchel was not a high pick, and he's kind of on the front side. Now Altuve and Marwin are more on the very beginnings of all this, but so many things since then. And how many trades have they made in the last 2 years, 18 months? Three prospects out, three more prospects out. Are they a lack of prospects right now?
No.
Not in the least. They might not be the best farm system in baseball, but they've got one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. I think Kyle Tucker's trying to remind people he's one of the best hitting prospects in baseball by homering once every four at-bats in spring training and just crushing the ball when he does. They're fine, and they have even more prospects. I mean, who's Rogelio Armenteros? He's a prospect,
right.
And he's how far down their list?
I tell you, I saw Trent Thornton. Holy crap! I know it was early on, and the guys had just gotten the hitters had just gotten there and everything. But he was out there in a simulated kind of game thing going on, and Springer was up against him, and Reddick was up against him, and somebody else, and I can't remember. But they had a tough time, and I asked Luno about him. He goes, "Yeah, this dude's coming up through our system," and there's just nowhere to put him right now.
But this guy could be
on the roster this year.
Right, and not to try to talk about a Tony Kemp or a Tyler White or some of these guys as huge stars, but they would be on mate. Preston Tucker is not even an Astro anymore because he's just wasting his time here, popping out 90 RBI seasons in AAA. He'll be on the team for the Braves all year. All these guys, they move along. They're all Colin Moran should be the starting third baseman all year for the Pirates. Would never get a sniff for this team.
Yeah.
And they have several more of the guys like that just waiting to sit around and hope they could ever play somewhere because it can't be here.
Yep. So it's fun, and they're continuing. I mean, even in spring training, they're like, well, let's just go win. Let's just go win all these games. Might as well because that's what we do. So you're going to the Rockets right after this, right after you're done here. Will you ask James if he was disrespectful?
Yeah, I think so.
You're going to ask him?
I'll ask him, if it hadn't already been asked, sure.
I would imagine it has, but do you think he was disrespectful?
No, not really. I think, so you take that play, and I want to get into that more. Do you happen to see the Cavs game last night?
Yeah.
The very end of the Cavs game, when it was dunk on one end because nobody's defending, dunk on the other end because nobody's defending. Then finally, the third dunk, Dario Saric's dunk, got him a basketball in the back.
Right.
Was he being disrespectful to the Cavaliers who were beating and who no one was defending and there were 10 seconds left and it was a close game most of the night it was an 8-point spread.
When you can run out the clock, however, these are the unwritten basketball rules.
Unwritten rules are always the best rules.
Was it Chris Paul?
Chris Paul and Damian Lillard. He broke the unwritten rules.
But Lillard had done it before because as a rookie, he had done it.
But he
learned because he was a rookie.
Yeah.
Right?
You learn.
He had something for Chris Paul earlier this year. That, I don't know, there aren't many basketball unwritten rules, right?
No,
not like baseball. Is it an unwritten rule when you break a guy's ankles? You can't stare at him for a couple of seconds?
No. They all stare.
Honestly, he was like, his head was turned like, what the hell? What? Dude, you going to get up or no? What? And I'm just going to stand here as long as I possibly can. When you stand over a guy after you dunk on him, when you teabag him, how come nobody says that's disrespectful?
And it's way more disrespectful.
It's way, because you put your personal belongings on that dude's face. Okay, that is now the Alabama fan got arrested in New Orleans.
Wow, going way back
when he teabagged that LSU fan who was passed out. This is unlawful. And unfortunately, I don't think I've ever seen, and I think we should, see some NBA players arrested for putting their personal belongings on other players' faces.
Guys get dunked on, posterized, ESPN fan, blows it all up. Everybody sees it. Obviously, viral, web, social media, all that stuff. And then it goes away. It's no big deal because it happens so much. Well, this play was pretty unique. To have a guy have his ankle broken like that, to fall back like he did, yes, it was basically it was because he got pushed, not because he broke his ankles. Then he was off balance and he fell over.
Right.
And then nobody did anything.
Nothing.
None of his teammates came over to Harden. Nobody played any defense. Harden was just kind of waiting to see what would happen. It was less about being disrespectful, I thought, more about, are we stuck in a time warp here? Is anybody going to play basketball?
No.
I'll wait here for a minute.
It was like the video stopped. It was like, just for about a second and a half, nobody did anything.
And take into context where they were in the game. The Clippers were an absolute disaster. It was 28-7 in the first quarter of this game when this play happened on their home floor.
Right.
The revenge game, the tunnel game. And this is the effort the Clippers brought to the table.
Right. They did get back into it. Maybe they felt like they were.
Maybe they got disrespected.
Yeah, and a little bit disrespectful. Disrespected. But, I know Bill Plaschke yesterday, the old man, old white guy in L.A., thought that it was disrespectful because Wesley Johnson and James works just as hard as James Harden does. So for him to stand over him and look at him, Bill Plaschke, if that was a dunk and he was standing over him and looking at him afterwards, would you have said the same thing?
Yeah, the next time somebody from one of the two L.A. teams does that to somebody on a dunk like you described, he'll be on whatever show he comes on that day and say, yeah, I love this. This is what they need to do. Of course he will.
They got to show that they've got some stones, and they've got to show that they – nah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing standing over somebody when you dunk on them. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to call in here to hang out with us on ESPN 97.5. Lance is going to join us, I think he said, in a few minutes or at 8. He will call in a second on air at 8.
Is he done with his hand measurements and hip movements?
Oh, he's going to call in a second. Well, he's measuring guys their compression shorts.
Oh, okay, good.
He's measuring compression shorts right now. So he will give us a call in just a minute. Juan, we see you. Gilbert, we see you. And have you talked to Gilbert? Have you ever talked to Gilbert?
During the World Series run, we did a live show. I was on the morning show, and we did a show right outside the ballpark before one of the home games. He biked out there and met us out there.
He did?
Me and Owen and Rachel and the gang.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's what Gilbert do. John Clay Wolf is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. And if you're looking for a way, and this to me, is it doesn't make any sense for you not to do this. Because if you are going to sell your car, why don't you get all the offers you possibly can? And you can even use John Clay Wolf, I think. Right, John?
You can use me. I'd rather do business. I like having last look where you've already used everybody else and we have a chance to be the top man. But absolutely. Hey, I've got a good story this week on a car we bought. I would say it would be a high-profile car out of H-Town. So a guy was doing exactly what you're defining. And it was a 2010 Rolls-Royce Phantom drop-head convertible. And we negotiated with him, and we were the high man. And he sold it to us through Give Me the VIN. You know, obviously, we never saw the car. We never met him. We were looking at pictures. He validated the condition. And when we were done, the guy started laughing. He said, you have no idea what you just did. And my buyer's like, well, I just bought a nice Rolls Royce, it sounds like. He said, yeah, but have you ever heard of Beyonce? He's like, yeah. He's like, it's hers.
What now?
I swear.
No, you bought Beyonce's Rolls.
What? Out of Houston. It's in Music World Entertainment is on the title. Their name is on the service records. No joke. Swear
but
to God.
It's from 2010. I'll bet that Beyonce smell isn't on it anymore.
It's theirs. No, the Beyonce smell is not on it.
Yeah.
That's probably why it's sitting down in Houston.
That's probably why.
At a dad's management company.
If it smelled like Beyonce, I'd buy it right now.
I did sniff the seats.
You see, that's not what I meant. Anyway, so we got John Clay Wolf, and if you're looking for a great way, hey, you want to buy Beyonce's Rolls? Yeah. Or how about you want to spend as little as possible, too? You got cars from what? From practically nothing all the way to Beyonce's Rolls.
We do. We buy a lot of nice cars, and we pay top money, and we do it fast. We come to your house, And her dad did say, no joke, he said, you weren't kidding when you said it's so easy you can do it from your underwear. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's the damn truth.
That's it. Go give me the VIN.com. Give me the VIN.com. Get there now. Sell your vehicle to John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, Lance is off. Adam Wexler is here. Lance is at the Combine in Indianapolis. He'll give us a call maybe about 8 o'clock, I think. So we will get the report from him on exactly what's going on. In the meantime, 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us. Let's get Juan in here on ESPN 97.5. Juan, ¿qué pasó?
Hey, buongiorno, Johnny.
Buongiorno. You're Giovanni.
That's what I'm going to talk about. Come stai, signore. Yeah, I just want to throw shade at NBA defenses. How about that? Oh. I had to call in when you were talking about standing over a defender. What about a defender standing over an offensive player like my Steelers did? That's all. Thank you, sir.
Your Steelers,
Juju Smith.
Well, that was a cheap shot, though. That's a little bit different. What about when Gronk stood over and laughed? That's my favorite touchdown celebration ever. When he laughed and then he laughed again and then he spiked it real hard. That was, to me, that was disrespectful. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster was. That was a cheap shot. You can't stand over a guy that's hurt. That's
just
different.
Plain bad.
That's different. Now, I don't know if Wesley Johnson's ankles were broken. I don't know. And James Harden didn't know either because he couldn't get up. So maybe that was disrespectful because you were standing over an injured player.
Yeah, and he was just in disbelief as much as he was anything. He's like, "What? Where are you? How far away are you? What are you doing down there?
What are you doing?"
And like, he didn't jump. He got back to his feet and then kind of just, okay, here I am.
Well,
I'm not going to come back at you to try to block the shot. None of my teammates are going to come over to defend you. And then, yeah, obviously, I mean, think, where would we be if Harden missed? I mean, he was at the three-point line. He was wide open. NBA players make it all the time. But in order to finish off this total lack of respect for a fellow professional, he had to bury it, which he did.
No, he had to. But that's the hardest shot is when you're standing there wide open.
Chris Paul had several throughout the game. He couldn't make any of them.
Because, you know, the concentration. Now, and especially after you do that and you stand and you stare at him and you just wait and then you kind of spin the ball. And put it up like
he
did.
And as we've all seen now with super slow-mo and 50 billion different angles, this game happened to be on ESPN, so they had 1,000 camera angles. Now we know he also licked his lips. So maybe he was being disrespectful.
That was
John.
A little. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was a little sexual. I don't know. Okay.
Well, he is a chef. Maybe he was just, this was a very tasty move.
He was stirring. Hey, listen. Screw you, Bill Plaschke. Screw you. Clippers, you know what? First of all, don't fall down while you're trying to cover somebody. Secondly, get up and defend. Third, put a little effort into it. You're right. It was 28-7 at the time. That made it 31-7. Show up, especially. Yeah, this is supposed to be, oh my God, the two are going back together after the last, all the brouhaha, all that stuff going, nah, nothing.
Yeah, the Rockets had lost to the Clippers. They hadn't beaten the Clippers this year. They'd lost to them twice. This time, of course, this was the first of the three games. Both Harden and Chris Paul were in the lineup, and pretty much when that happens, the Rockets don't lose.
No,
they lost three times all year in that scenario.
Right.
Once all year if you add in Capella. Which is crazy.
Isn't that unbelievable? It is crazy.
They're good.
Yeah. No. That's a good. Okay. I mean, where are you on this beating the Warriors thing?
Should they, like, all their focus, should it all be on beating the Warriors or what? Can they, or what are you asking?
Well, so you have to, first of all, James is going to be the MVP. I don't think there's any question about that, right? We don't have any qualms about saying that James is MVP.
Seems like it's going to happen.
So do you take your foot off the pedal a little bit? If you were D'Antoni on James Harden, give him more rest, make sure that he's ready for the postseason?
I wouldn't really look at it that way. I just don't think there's many games where you're just going to flat out sit him out of the game with what they have left
or
on the
schedule. Or give him more rest.
You're probably going to see him sit more during the games rather than just flat out take games off. I mean, I'm not concerned about how strong his wind is. I'm more concerned about, well, he plays 10 more games. There's 10 more times he could sprain an ankle or do something or pull a hamstring. That's the only concern I would ever have, and that would be a reason I would sit guys. But in the NBA, it just doesn't seem like he's – Chris Paul, you would do that with, and they will. He's going to sit games.
Yeah.
Because he's different. He's older, and he's always hurt.
Right. That is true. And, you know, you got to worry about Gordon. You got to worry about Anderson. Now you got, you know, I mean, Ariza's been down this year. I think you want home court advantage. No question about it. Honestly, they have not been playing all that great. You know, they've let the last two teams back in the games after building big leads. But it just seems to me like they're on cruise control. And when you bring your B or C game and you're still winning easily, that to me is more indicative of how good a team you are. They haven't been playing all that great, and they've been cruising.
The people that think Golden State's going to end up with the number one seed keep looking at the remaining schedule. And Golden State's remaining schedule, based on the record of the teams they're playing, is they have the easiest schedule in the league, and the Rockets don't. But the Rockets are the best team in the league. So every night, they're the better team. And most nights, they're the better team by a lot. So it's really relative. It's not that, like Minnesota, for example, the record that they would put into that equation is very good. Minnesota has the fifth or sixth or seventh best record in the league. The Rockets beat them by 18 points every time they play them.
Yeah.
Rockets are so good, those kind of things aren't that important.
I'm not worried so much about the Rockets playing Boston or Minnesota. I'm more worried about like when Philadelphia came in here or the Lakers came in here or teams that are where they take a night off. That's more worrisome to me than, you know, early on they struggled with Memphis.
They've lost to Memphis twice. Two of their 18 wins are against Houston.
And they're bad. So to me, that's not it. The Rockets, I think, will get excited about playing those teams. I'll tell you this, though. It seems like they're excited about playing every night. I think that this is building. There's a groundswell, and there is you can just feel it with these guys that they think there is nobody that can beat us any night.
And any night, no matter what's happening in the game, they think the same thing. They've fallen behind by 8 or by 10 or what was going on in Denver when they were getting outplayed. They got outplayed for the majority of that game. And similarly, you know, they built the big lead against the Clippers and then were outplayed for the majority of the game. But they had built such a big lead. They go on these runs. They have so many shooters. And this is, again, this is happening. They've extended this winning streak out to 14 while... God, I mean, we spent 2 days with them out of the All-Star break at practice. What are you going to do? You got a healthy roster. How are you going to find time for everybody? You got two new guys here. And the very first game they played, Eric Gordon's sick. And then Ryan Anderson was sick. And then Clint Capella missed a game. I mean, they're not fully healthy, and it doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't matter. That's starting to feel like, well, it's got to come down to them and the Warriors. Now, Kawhi comes back. And, you know, they're hurting. They're not a really good basketball team. But there's a chance that if Kawhi comes back, they get healthy, they could be in the semifinals, in the West semifinals. I don't know that you want a piece of them. I don't know that Mike D'Antoni can beat Greg Popovich, even as good as this basketball team is.
I think, yeah, quite be honest. Would you prefer to see the Spurs in your second round? No. Are you going to beat them? Yes, especially after last year. That was an embarrassment. Total choke job. I don't talk about choke jobs in sports very often. The Rockets were not just better than the Spurs, significantly better than that hurt Spurs team.
Yeah.
And they blew it. They absolutely blew it last year.
Well, by 39. Good Lord. I don't want to see him. I just don't. Let the Warriors take care of the Spurs in the second round.
Well, I think somebody else might take care of him in the first round.
Maybe. If Kawhi's back, I don't know.
I mean, you're going to see...
But here's the deal is the Rockets, everybody thinks that they're playing fast basketball. They're not.
Their pace is slow.
Slow. Yeah. They're moving the ball around. They're actually getting shots. They're not an up-and-down team, so they are a half-court team. They're built better to win in the playoffs. They're a more defensive team with Tucker and Capella. And, I mean, they're just a better built basketball team.
It's very difficult. They were built to beat Golden State. Guess what? That formula beats everybody else in the league, too.
Yeah.
So while they're clearly that's the matchup we want to see, but you're right, their defense is so much better now. Their teams are having such a hard time in the half court now, once the Rockets got their turnovers under control, which they've done now for about 2 months, and it's all part of this winning streak, teams don't get easy baskets, and now the half-court defense the Rockets are capable of is out there. P.J. Tucker, Baamute, now Joe Johnson, Capella as a legit rim protector, and James Harden as a post defender. These are all plus players now, defensively.
Mm-hmm. All right, 713-780-3776. Wex is in studio with us here on ESPN 97.5. Lance is going to call in about a half an hour, so you'll get your combine update, see what those compression shorts measure here today. We got all kinds of information coming out of the combine, so we'll see what our man Lance Zierlein thinks of it. He's going to be, I think he's going to be on, we're going to put it on NFL Network. I think he's going to be on this morning, right?
Yeah, I don't know when it starts, but today starts his time with them.
I think he said he's on at 8. I can't tell. In meetings, we'll call in a sec on air at 8. I think that means he's on the NFL Network at 8?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we got to put that on. I got to see this, see if there's any that not Dan Holden will capture, and then we will have permanent Lance Zierlein face, combine face. That'll be awesome. You know what else is awesome? Poker. Are you playing? You can. It's legal now to play. And how about this? TheLegionTX.com. TheLegionTX.com is Houston's newest poker lounge, and it's up in spring. So you people in Conroe, you people in the Woodlands, you people up north, you people in Kingwood even, it's a lot closer than going over to, coming down here. Because most of them are here in the Galleria area, and I know there's some in Clear Lake and down towards Galveston. We got some poker rooms as well. This is up north. This is the first one up there. This is a wonderful poker room. If you haven't seen it yet, they've got all kinds of tables. They got cash games, limit and no limit, Hold'em. They got Pot Limit Omaha, daily tournaments. I think they're doing a Pot Limit Omaha daily tournament. If you're an Omaha fan, this is the place to go. The other ones I know, they're not into Omaha nearly as much. So if you're an Omaha fan, this is for you. Starting this Monday, the Legion TX is letting you play 24 hours a day for a one-time daily fee of $40. No time cards. Other poker rooms charge $15 to $20 per hour in addition to a one-time initiation fee. Not the Legion TX. A daily fee of $40 lets you play all day long. So get there. If you're looking for a great place to play, it's in Spring off of 45 North next to Big Texas Dance Hall. Go to thelegiontx.com, thelegiontx.com. Find out for yourself. I was up there last week. I got to tell you, it's a great poker room. You will love it. The people can't be nicer. Got everything. BYOB. They got food, sandwiches, salads, and snacks, but you bring your own beer up at thelegiontx.com.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, some breaking news here. Rather disgusting breaking news, as a matter of fact. Apparently, President Trump is calling for a 10% tariff on aluminum, which will drive up the cost of beer. Miller Coors is squarely against this.
Preach on, brother.
And I'm with them on this, is that there is absolutely no reason for a 10% tariff on aluminum. It will cause beer prices to rise, losses of jobs, and the country may end. So if this is the beginning of the end of our country, then I'm squarely against this.
This is the beginning of the end.
Yes.
We've been nothing that's happened prior to this over the last year, 2 years, three, whatever time period. This now is the beginning of the end.
Yes.
When we're teaching history just before the end, because, of course, at the end, we don't need it anymore.
10%
this will
tariff.
Be the day.
Yes. It's the end, Adam. What you know about Coors Lights? Nothing. You don't know nothing about it. You don't drink, do you?
Yeah.
You don't drink beer. You don't drink good beer like Coors Light, though.
There you go. Okay. Okay. We can go with that. Yeah. Sure. Fine.
Okay. Well, that's all I'm worried about right there.
I thought he was busy ripping Alec Baldwin today. He had time to suggest a tariff on aluminum?
Yeah, he was. Well, Alec Baldwin is his public enemy number one in the White House, I think.
He tweeted about that at 5:07 a.m.
Of course he did. Someone has got to stop the man. Well, he is up early tweeting about Alec Baldwin, isn't he?
Yep.
You got that Sean Miller sound? Sean Miller is none too pleased with ESPN. And I can certainly see why, as they have, after all the SI stuff came out, Pat Forty and who, Pete Thamel, was it those two? Those two put it out there about all the, they had the FBI information, and they put it out there, and they showed all the schools. Well, ESPN did a report that Sean Miller was taped by the FBI talking about a $100,000 payment to DeAndre Ayton. Well, Sean Miller categorically denied that.
Let me begin by saying I regret all the negative attention that has been focused on our program and the difficult position that this has created for President Robbins, Dave Hickey, the Arizona family, and especially our players and their families. While I have done nothing wrong, I am responsible for our men's basketball program, and I am sickened that we are in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. Contrary to what has been written this past week, we do our very best to run a clean program at the University of Arizona. I have never paid a recruiter prospect or their family or representative to come to Arizona. I never have, and I never will. I have never arranged or directed payment or any improper benefits to a recruit or prospect or their family or representative, and I never will. I cannot remain silent in light of media reports that have impugned the reputation of me, the university, and sullied the name of a tremendous young man, DeAndre Ayton. Let me be very, very clear. I have never discussed with Christian Dawkins paying DeAndre Ayton.
And apparently he hadn't even met, he said, or talked to Christian Dawkins until after DeAndre Ayton was already at the school.
Right.
Here, there are a lot of things going on here. One is ESPN trying to get in the middle of this thing when they had gotten beaten on the story by Yahoo. And I was listening to Clay Travis this morning, and a couple of good points were brought up. One is, with all the people that have been let go by ESPN, are they lacking now in their journalistic integrity? Because the fact checkers are probably some of the first guys to go. If you're not someone who's a main cog, but those guys really help journalistically in that they can do a lot of the legwork that you don't have people doing legwork for anymore.
And quite honestly, they let people go, especially in this particular story, that were much, I'm led to believe, much more tied in to the scene. That was their beat.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like, say, Andy Katz, who did nothing but college basketball, knew all the coaches, knew all the agents, knew everybody. And that's why he was good at what he did. I mean, he wasn't necessarily out there breaking stories all the time, but he was on that. That's what he did. Be like letting Adam Schefter go and having Mark Schlabaugh report on something an NFL team did. It might be right. I'm not saying he's not a good reporter, but there was probably somebody else who knew the beat better. And there's no question about that in this case.
Right. Well, this might have come, I don't know how. Maybe here's the thing about it is that this is protected information. It may have come from an attorney. It may have come from FBI. It may have come from someone who's being accused. It may have come from some places. They can't tell, because if they get caught telling or leaking this information, they're going to be in some trouble. And whether or not Schlabach had to rely on, chances are he never saw the FBI information. He was just told it. So that's awfully difficult.
Yep.
You have to trust whoever that source is. Now, and whether or not you can get someone else who says, whether or not, and that's where some mistakes come in. Maybe it wasn't DeAndre Ayton. Maybe it was, and the thought is, it was Bowen.
And again, this is a delicate story, and I'm sure Schlebach knows, everybody knows it, but the second the story broke from Yahoo, and we started to see the breadth of it, how believable was it? So believable.
Yes.
Everything of, oh, of course this happens. We know this happens. Now let's find out the details. So to hear even more descriptive details, and this, again, very believable. I'm sure very easy to think, yeah, I'm sure it happened. Mm-hmm. But you got to really, really, and then let's add one more, really be sure.
Really know that it's right. Because if not, now, the thing about a defamation suit, though, is probably it's awfully difficult to prove because you have to know, you have to prove that they knew that the information was incorrect.
And I'll tell you, like listening to Sean Miller there, as we just, like right at the beginning of it, as he comes out there and he sits down, and first of all, I want to say I'm really sorry for the situation that's put us in. I honestly wasn't expecting what he said to come next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt like the way they'd handle it, there was a chance they were going to deny some of this had happened. But he kind of set it up like he was going to say, I'm sorry I got involved in this, and here's what, you know, it kind of explained what did and didn't happen. He basically said, that's bogus. You lied. That didn't happen.
Well, here's the thing about it is, do you know, here's the thing. It might not have been DeAndre Ayton. Was it somebody else?
And Sean Miller also said, I never have paid. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Well, Pete Bell didn't pay any players either. He didn't pay Neon Badeau. He didn't pay Ricky Ray.
Right.
But somehow Ricky Ray got a tractor.
Right, right, right.
Somehow Neon's driving a new car. Happy Chandler did it. Booster. Blue chips. Love it.
Well, see, that's a little different. But because that's not real. But
so far-fetched. I would never believe it.
Well, my thought is that you talk about Andy Katz being let go, but wait a minute, Jay Billis is in the middle of this thing, and he's shocked and amazed that Sean Miller would have done this, and he's just so disgusted by it. How does he not know what's going on in college basketball when that's all Jay Billis does?
But see, now you're getting into a part where those guys, and you know this, I know this, he's in a delicate spot too. Who are these guys that they're probably talking about? Sean Miller and this coach, they're his friends.
Yeah.
They're the people he does get information from, but not necessarily to break stories, but to do his job.
Is this the 1990s steroids where the media just turned a blind eye because they didn't want to know? Honestly, how do all of these people that are so close, the Jay Williams and the Jay Billis and the Andy Katz, and how is this just coming to light?
Well, let me ask you this, because we've both been in the media long enough to at least have seen a shift because we're decades into it. Don't you think the ability to get inside a program, since we're talking about college sports, to get inside as a reporter is way different and far more difficult now than it was 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 25, 30, all that stuff. I think people now that are even guys on the beat, you know, in LSU, I cover the LSU beat. I know everything about the program. Not that they're less qualified or talented as a reporter now, but I think they know less about the program now than guys who did it 20 years ago. I think everybody's gotten paranoid about everything to the point that they make it as difficult as possible for these guys to be on the
people,
inside.
There's no question they're more guarded. But there's more access than ever, too.
In some places it feels that way. In other places it doesn't.
I just think that we all want it to be, and we have been looking at college basketball with, well, I'm just hoping for the best. I just want it to be when it just couldn't be scummier. It could not be, well, it could be, I guess. It could be the Olympics or FIFA, the Olympic Committee or FIFA.
Well, these teams should be very, very worried because if they've done something wrong, then something they've accomplished in the past might have to be vacated, John.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Louisville didn't win. That's right. Reggie Bush never, Pete never played, and there's no USC. That's right. That's the dumbest. That's Louisville, the dumbest sanction ever.
Louisville vacated a win last night.
Yeah, they did. If you haven't seen Louisville lose last night to Virginia, it was one of the most improbable losses ever.
Ever.
Ever. Up four with 0.9 to play, and they lost the game.
They committed a foul on
a three. In regulation, they lost the game.
Yeah, in regulation. A foul on a three, up four. Guy makes two free throws, intentionally misses the second, but they get called for a lane violation. Intentionally misses the third, but they get called for a lane violation. So Louisville ball, we're under a second remaining. Just get it in. He travels.
He ran the baseline instead of holding his spot because you can't run the baseline except after a made basket. So Louisville inbounds, throws it up a three and hits it and wins. Scored 5 points in the last 0.9 seconds.
Yeah, Virginia.
Virginia.
Number one team in the country. Found a way to
win. That's unbelievable.
Or Louisville found a way to lose.
Yeah, I think that's better.
That's it. 745 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Let's get Gilbert in here on the other side. You want to talk? I think you need to talk to Gilbert.
Let's bring it.
All right, that's next right here.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 749 ESPN 97.5. Let's get Gilbert in here because Gilbert, see what's going on. He's been waiting. He's on hold for 30 plus minutes.
Shortest wait times, huh?
Shortest wait times. It is the shortest wait time ever for Gilbert.
No, it's not.
Let's get Gilbert in here. Gilbert.
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good. Hey.
What's your name again?
Adam Wexler is here. You remember him?
Hey, Adam. How you doing, Adam?
Great. Hey, Gilbert.
You remember going to see him at Minute Maid Park?
Yeah, you got my picture still? You got my picture of me? We took a picture at Minute Maid Park.
Absolutely.
You got it, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yes.
We got it.
You have? Do you really have it?
Yeah, he took a picture with the whole crew.
Do you have it? Because he will.
Maybe.
Okay, if you tell the Big Relentless that you have the picture and he wants the picture, your life is not ever going to be the same.
Maybe I should just say Owen has it.
Owen Conflente. What's his name?
Owen Conflente.
Owen Conflente has it, Gilbert. You should call him every day.
No, but he never gave it to me. You got one, Adam? Do you have one, Adam?
I'll have to ask my people.
Where's
what?
That? He's going to ask his people. Gilbert, do you think...
Well, I'm going to take the... Can you give the John so you still get to me later?
Sure.
That Papa Adam?
All right.
Don't you think you should call Owen every day now?
I did try to call him. I can't get home.
I'll bet you did. Yep.
Yeah. I don't want to ask you a question. You need to be, we think about the Texas challenge. Be good this year or not?
Yes, I think they'll be good because they have Deshaun Watson coming back.
You think they're going to be good?
Yep.
I'm not sure Gilbert thinks that. Gilbert, what do you think?
I don't think they're going to be good. I think the quarterback re-injured his leg again, probably.
What?
Know?
Gilbert, why are you putting that evil on him? Don't put that evil on Deshaun Watson, Gilbert.
Why not? I want my picture back, Adam, please. I was bothering the security guard.
I'm sure
you were. My picture back. He lost it anyway, you know.
I'm sure you were.
Anyway, you can find one of them at Channel 2 Studios.
Yep.
We'll see what we can do.
Anyway, Adam, please.
Adam, please.
My mission in life now.
Gilbert said please.
He's being very kind about it.
Yes, he is. Listen.
It's on the list.
I think you should call Owen every second, okay? Yeah, I think Owen has it.
I can't get a hold of Owen all the time anyway.
Yeah, he can't get a hold of Owen.
Trying to get a hold of me.
Adam is readily available. He'll take his call.
Adam, no, don't give him your number.
He's got my number. 713-780-3776.
Adam, can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah, I can.
And then it pops over here, yeah, with a live remote with me and Donnie Fuffer at the... I want to can be a good term with me and Donnie Fuffer.
Yeah.
Or not anyway, you know.
I think that's something Dominique wants to do.
He wants Adam to mediate between him and Dominique.
Well, he wants Adam to set it up.
Because I don't think Dominique and Gilbert are on good terms right now.
What happened with you and Dominique, Gilbert?
Yeah, falling apart anyway, you know.
It's falling apart.
I don't like her anyway, you know.
You don't like her, then why do you want to do a show with her?
Work things out anyway, see what happened anyway. You know?
Work
see
things
what
out.
Anyway, you know?
So, you want to work it out. So that's how you are, though.
So, Adam, you should take that idea to Miss Soxa,
mm-hmm.
and see what she has to say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll see her later today.
Yep.
See if that
see
comes
what
up.
She thinks about you know doing a live shot with Gilbert.
I'll try to bring it on up off the air rather than at 6 or 10 when we're out there together tonight.
Right. No, off air, I think.
Okay,
is best.
I'll go off air.
Well, I wish he would reference Gilbert on the telecast.
That would be totally sweet. All right, Gilbert, we're going to get all this stuff done.
I picture. I really want my picture.
Well, we know that.
Anyway.
Yeah, we were aware of that.
I wait for that picture since the royalty low anyway.
Yeah, we know. Yep, Gilbert is
good.
Goodbye. Gilbert's like done. Gilbert.
Got that done.
He's
check that off the list.
Big relentless.
Yeah.
The big relentless dude. That picture. He called us for that picture.
It's a must be. I mean, I didn't realize the importance.
Can you guys
of such
get that picture from Channel 2? No. No. I don't know how to get that picture from Channel 2. Can you guys set up Dominique Socks? No.
What am I? I don't know anybody. Well, we know people, but we don't have that type of access.
No.
Talk about.
I'll see if we've hung it up around the studio somewhere. Maybe I can just grab it off the wall.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Pretty sure it's nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
That won't stop.
I don't think anybody over there refers to it as the picture. I think everyone does.
I'm pretty sure everyone there does. It's the picture that no one, everyone goes, oh my God, Gilbert.
No one there knows that that picture exists.
No. Owen's like, what? Pick what?
Well, I don't even, who, what?
What? And Owen's, does Owen have, did Owen take it with his phone?
I mean, I don't, I think it's, that's, think that's where the issue is. Yeah. So he definitely needs to go through Owen.
Mm. Call him every, he will call a thousand times.
I'm sure we'll be out of Minute Maid Park again sometime around, you know, all day during the home opener coming up against the Orioles in a few weeks. He'll find us.
We're going to be out there.
We are going to be out there.
Yeah.
We're going to be at 500 Crawford. The new apartment complex right there. It's above Jim Crane's two restaurants there that are right there. And that's where we're going to be broadcasting from. It's going to be awesome. Totally, totally sweet.
Will they be 4-0 when they come back home for the home opener after a little jaunt to Arlington?
Probably. I mean, dude, that pitching. I mean, the home opener is going to have Charlie Morton. Is it going to be Charlie Morton in the fifth?
I think we're kind of just making the assumption that oh, woe is the Astros. Charlie Morton has to be their fifth starter, and we'll get the ball on opening day here against the Orioles after a four-game series that'll go Verlander, Keuchel, Cole, McCullers.
Is that fair? I mean, honestly,
who cares
is that
about fair?
Here's the deal, too, on that is I think the bullpen wore out, and I think AJ, and I asked him when we were down there, you know, are you going to go about it differently this year so that the bullpen doesn't appear to be as waylaid as it was. He was like, nope. But I really do think he is going to go about it differently. I don't think he trusted his starters. He trusted Keuchel.
Yeah, and which starter did he miss the most during the year? Keuchel. So now all of a sudden, McCullers is getting up to 100 pitches in the fifth inning, so he's short for the day. He didn't trust Morton after the third trip through the rotation, so that's fifth or sixth inning. So he was done. You only had Verlander for 5 regular season starts, which sounds ridiculous now. Seems like he's been an Astro a while, but he was there for 5 games.
But how, do you know how many times he went out there and got Peacock after 4 2/3
same thing.
A lead?
Yep.
And Peacock, I was just like, well, dude, I can't get – I walk a guy or I can't
like
give up a hit.
He's twirling a two-hitter.
What? Really? You're coming out for me? You think he does that to Verlander? You think he does that to Gerrit Cole? You think he does that to Keuchel?
No, because he only has 6 mound visits.
Well, not really. You can use – I mean, honestly, he could go the first 5 innings and see those guys and be fine because they're going to go 7 or 8.
Do you think it's a little disrespectful to start being the defending champion in Texas?
It is a little.
You think that a little – do we talk about disrespect? That's a little disrespectful.
That's a little disrespectful. I mean, honestly, it should be like football where the champs are home, celebrated on national television, playing the Dodgers again.
Yeah, why does the home crowd have to wait? I mean, we love Charlie Morton for what he did, but why does the home crowd have to wait for Charlie Morton?
Right. They should be getting Verlander in game one.
Yeah.
No, baseball is not. Baseball is the worst marketing. honestly, they should own 4th of July. They should own Memorial Day. They should have it on they should start at 10 in the morning, ESPN, every game, just like Christmas Day. 4th of July should be like Christmas Day, or Memorial Day should be like Christmas Day. Labor Day is football, so... But they should own those days, and they just don't.
And clearly, you know, you're the world champs. You got plenty of talent. You're a good team. But I think on top of that, they actually have a lot of the things that ESPN and the national spotlight type of people now. Carlos Correa is not... Yeah, he plays in Houston. He's the Astros shortstop. He is a big deal now, yeah, nationally. Altuve is a big deal nationally. Verlander's getting the ball on opening day. He's a huge deal nationally. They actually have all those things now.
Do you know? Did you look at the schedule? Do you know when they're playing the Yankees? Like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What the bleep? Are you guys idiots?
The Yankees playing the Red Sox.
You should set up like basketball does. Okay, it's going to be Golden. Next year it's going to be Golden State and the Rockets. This year it was Golden State and Cleveland and the Rockets and San Antonio or whatever. But you set up your schedule and then you put everything around it. Baseball, it's just the Yankees and Astros fell Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Are you idiots? They should be the Sunday night game that that the whole country, and Saturday on Fox and Sunday on ESPN. It's just not, it's not that hard. And baseball just is the dumbest marketer I've ever seen.
But Yankees versus anybody is all they care about. And when they get Yankees, Red Sox, then they're even better.
When you're talking about the best teams, honestly, the first game should have been Astros-Dodgers, a rematch of the World Series in the first series here in Houston. You don't think? How pumped would everybody be to see that? Astros-Dodgers, 7 o'clock on opening day.
We don't have time to be fan-friendly, John. We're
game
baseball.
8 of the World Series to open the year. Yankees,
yes, or Kershaw Astros versus Dodgers. Verlander.
Kershaw-Verlander.
But we don't have time for that in baseball.
Well, did you know that this is the first time in like 50 years that every team is starting on the same day? Every team is starting on the same day.
No one's in Japan playing a series or anything.
No one's. This is the first time in like 50 years that this is the first time that everybody's starting on the same day.
Yeah, the last few
years.
Hello?
They would have this is that hard. It took 50 years to figure that out. Hey, with the lowest prices of the spring at Allied Siding and Windows, time to march into savings. If you're ready to update your home siding, you're just wondering about the benefits of updating your siding, the experts at Allied Siding and Windows are the ones to call. Whole home replacement siding package includes all new James Hardy siding trim and overhangs starting at $150 a month. Let me repeat that. Trim and overhangs and the all new James Hardy siding at just $150 a month. Allied Siding and Windows installs more James Hardy replacement siding than anyone in Texas, and they have the only privately owned James Hardy showrooms in the U.S. You are going to love the Hardy Plank siding. It's the best. Non-prorated 30-year warranty, long-lasting, increases the value of your home, over 1,400 styles and colors, and Allied's the right company to do it. More than 40,000 customers, A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, installs more Hardy Plank replacement siding in Texas than anyone else. Call Allied now, 713-WINDOWS. A 30-second call sets up a 30-minute meeting. No high-pressured sales pitch, just a free estimate. Tell them I sent you. Get a $500 Amazon certificate with a whole home siding purchase. You also get 100% financing with zero down, zero interest for 18 months. Call them at 713-WINDOWS, 713-946-3697. No other company to call. Allied Siding and Windows. Allied Siding and Windows, affordable, local, reliable.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.